Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. Much like the rest of the world in the English speaking countries, fluoridated, chemtrailed, vaccinated, and ruled by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. Now, today we are going to have callers. We don't have callers into the show all that often, so if you'd like to come on and have a conversation with me, the phone lines are now open. The number to call in is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. And the subject I want to talk to people about today is offensiveness. Now, of course, being in the position that I am, radio and what have you, I listen to a lot of talk radio, and what happens is it's so easy to offend your audience. Trust me, it's very easy. If you have a hero, for example, and the talk radio show host that you're listening to insults, makes fun of, etc., said hero, it can make you hate that commentator and basically never listen to them again. And this is, of course, without asking any clarification, without wanting to have a chat with them first or anything like that. And of course, radio show hosts in general are very rarely give listeners the opportunity to dress them down on talk radio. And so I'd like to provide everybody that opportunity. tell Vinny he's wrong. That's what I've decided to call this. Tell Vinny he's wrong. I've said something that you don't agree with, that you got evidence to support with. Tell me I'm wrong. Please, come on and tell me. Give me something new that I don't know already so that I can actually improve myself as your talk radio host. You know, this show's built very largely on the contributions of the listeners. I'd scarcely say probably the best-natured, well-humoured audience in talk radio in America, at least, and also the actually most of the hits to the websites come from New Zealanders, and this is not really a big surprise to me that New Zealanders would show an active interest in another New Zealander doing all this stuff, because American talk radio, talking about the truth, talking about the Patriot Act and the North American Union and all the various machinations of scumbaggery, skullduggery, slimebaggery, and various other forms of baggery, doesn't normally happen in this country to any real great degree. If it does happen, that host will probably be working for a mainstream radio station, and they won't really get the opportunity to talk about it all the time, because every time they do talk about it, they have to get a disciplinary meeting with the local producer of said radio station. This is not a joke. And on American Freedom Radio, that basically never happens. I think I may have done one thing one time that is that is warranted, even just a slight talking to and just addressing the issue rather than, you know, talking down to. So we've got a lot of freedom here, incidentally, called American Freedom Radio. And of course, freedom's a real beautiful thing. Doesn't mean I'm free to go out and hurt people, lie about things, etc. It means you have the freedom to tell the truth of whatever your opinion happens to be at that particular moment. You don't have to be correct. You may, for all intents and purposes, be very, very wrong, as I'm sure that I probably am on more than one occasion. The difference being, of course, that I can admit when I'm wrong, because I still try to maintain some semblance of humbleness, even though I am probably one of the most egotistical douchebags that has ever lived, admittedly. Now, I also wanted to bring out a different show that I've been doing much more recently. This is specifically for the New Zealand audience, usually either listening live or on the archives. It's called Mr. News Counterspin. Now, every day, as you should notice, and this is the same in every country, you have your evening news, about 6 o'clock, right? Prime time. And they'll give you a set amount of articles. And of course, if you're subscribed to their email list, they send you out those articles in the morning, and then they do a story on it later on in the day, bar breaking news, etc. And so what we've decided to do with Mr. News Counterspin, I've got a network of, because I've been interviewing people in this country who are activists, who have a lot of research behind them, a lot of credibility, whether that be from Health Freedom New Zealand or the Maritime Union or any other bunch of eclectic people, including independent researchers, former mainstream media aficionados, PR people, etc. A very wide mix of people that specialize in things from 9/11 to fluoride to government health policy and everything you can think of, really. And so what I do every day is I put the articles that the mainstream media sends me. I'm subscribed to their email outlets. Yes, sue me. And so I pop those articles in that chat room with just those people there. And if any one of those individuals who has a lot of research and background behind them finds out that they can actually comment on that particular one with some authority, then they just give me a message, and then we record a quick few minutes of Skype video together to have them debunk or to give the alternative view, and we upload them before the mainstream news goes on air at 6. Okay? And there's a good reason for that. It's because, hey, when you come home and you want to cook dinner or something like that, you want to really just tune in to the news and just listen to that news while you're cooking your tea. You don't have to pay terribly large, huge Uber amounts of attention to it or something like that. So it'd be really good if you actually, when you came home, had the opportunity to have the news given to you from the alternative source on a daily basis. And after a week and a half of doing this, it's actually surprisingly easy to do. All you've got is a bunch of volunteers who already know their stuff, don't really have to do a whole bunch of work, really, because they've already done it through their blood, sweat, and tears. and they blow these mainstream media articles right out of the water with as little as 80 seconds of commentary. Okay? Figure that one out. That's how irrelevant, pathetic, limp-wristed, weak these mainstream media clowns are. How moronic they are. That's how easy it is for somebody whose job it is to know an issue to debunk some of their crap. Okay? And I think this is very important. So if you want to help me to make that one a success, you search Mr. News Counterspin on YouTube. I think we might actually have to create a website at some point to showcase this and only these things, so that day by day you have a blow by blow into the very jaw of these fracking idiots. Frankly, I'm getting quite sick of it. to the point where I'm starting to wonder what's the point in even watching the mainstream news anymore. If I can just, I mean, like, I don't even read these articles that I send out to these activists at all. They do. They know the topics. And so basically I only get the alternative side. I scarcely know what the mainstream media is saying anymore. And that's why I know a heck of a lot more than they do. You know, Jefferson had a quote, Thomas Jefferson, founding father of the United States, had a quote that those who read only newspapers are much less informed than those who read nothing at all. And that's because newspapers and mainstream media are adept at disinforming you, to de-incentivize the listening, the learning, the comprehension process. That's why it's structured the way it is. How much knowledge can you gain in 30 seconds? Like virtually nothing. And I had a conversation with another radio show host, and he said, oh, it's just the format, isn't it? Well, no, actually, it's not really the format. Just because you only have 30 seconds doesn't mean that you can't pack that 30 seconds full of incredible information that totally, totally gives people the real story. You know, I can summarize things pretty easily, and the news seems adept at soaking up airtime, saying nothing at all, nothing that's relevant, nothing that matters. You know, we every single day, and I breeze through these articles. We cut out the sport, for example, but every single day there are these other ones. Like, for example, man dies in car crash. Who gives a flying frack? You know, I don't care. There's a million people that died in Africa today. You didn't give them a news headline, did you? And it's quantitatively more important. So whatever these people think is a priority, you know, man dies in car accident, factory burns down. This stuff is not of national significance. It's not of significance in the least. So, you know, I said to these activists, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to cut out the fluff, okay? None of this crap that just doesn't matter is going to be part of this. Because, well, basically, what activist is going to want to comment on one of those stories anyway? Yes, it highlights the something problem. No. Car crashes, drunk driving crashes, or anything like that, they happen all the time, and they're not really symptomatic of major, incredibly scary problems. Tell you what is a major and incredibly scary problem? The fact that the media blows it out of proportion when the road toll kills less than a third of what the mainstream medical industry in this country does. That's newsworthy.
Here in the Vinnie Eastwood headlines today, scumbaggery has inexorably forced the major pharmaceutical institutions to up their drug regimens, hence killing a heck of a lot more people in this country. And you don't have a choice about it either, because if you refuse your psychiatric medication, we're going to kill you anyway.
You know, that's news. But on the other hand, are these people... where is their priority? Okay, we live in a world where it's upside down. Okay, basically, what's relevant is not mentioned. What's irrelevant is talked about endlessly. See what I'm saying? And the news is the best place where you can see that as an example. Isn't it? It's scary. Because how can people keep continuing to watch that? How can they? It's unbelievable. And the answer is, I think, convenience. You know, it really is convenient. Like I mentioned earlier, you come home, you're watching the news while you're doing your dishes, while you're cooking your dinner or what have you. It's not like you're paying uber amounts of attention to it. Not that that would help you anyway, because the stories are only 30 seconds, and the second that it changes to another story, you forget what the first story was about by the end of the news ad break. You know, it's just boom, and now this, and you go, and now what was that? You know, they really are adept at wasting your time and making you feel like it's a convenience that they're wasting your time. Isn't that funny? You know, I feel that if you're going to cover an issue, bear in mind, I have absolutely no journalistic training or professionalism for that matter, so I'm naturally way, way, way more qualified to talk about the news and the reality than any of these mainstream media trash bags are. Okay, do you know how many investigative journalists they have working for the New Zealand Herald, the world's premier fracking newspaper? They have like three or none. Okay, down from like 90 in like 95 or something. Okay, they are literally purposefully getting rid of people who do real news. Why? They're the news. And what you do is you wind up having these people in the alternative media movement who are of a left or a right-wing persuasion. It matters not. They work hard and they get their views out there, etc. But they're still buying into the paradigm that the mainstream media is a good thing and that I want to be part of it. And look, I have no interest whatsoever in becoming part of the mainstream media. If they offered me a job and I would very much be asking a heck of a lot of questions. Firstly, about why the heck they are offering me a job in the first place. Is it to shut me up? Is it to put me on a contract so that after 5 years of having this crappy show, I can't talk about anything? There's a myriad of different agendas and scary little motifs that these fracks might put in there. And so it makes me inherently suspicious, and probably the reason why I will never wind up having a mainstream media job. And of that, I'm quite happy about. Now, we have a caller on the line here, area code 214. We'll come to you just after the break on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Stay there for a few minutes. Thank you very much. Back in a minute.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. Just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com is Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question, allegedly. The call-in line is now open. The number is 218-339-8525. The caller that we had on before the break has hung up, so hopefully you can call right back in. The number is 218-339-8525. The subject is Tell Me I'm Wrong, or whatever the heck you want to talk about. Look, I set the bar very low on this show for a good reason, because everybody's got a story to tell, everybody's got their own opinion, and the more opinions and the more stories you hear from all over the place, the wider a perspective it gives you. Gaining perspective, I can assure you, is very advantageous in any sense of the word. Okay? If you know a little bit about a lot of things, it's a heck of a lot better for you, for your ability to just survive in this world or to talk to other people or whatever, rather than knowing all about only one thing and nothing about anything else. Now, there was even an article. This is not just my opinion, by the way. This is an article off of Natural News that said that exact same thing, like a nuclear physicist, for example, with no social skills and eating the worst food that you could ever conceivably think of, you know, Red Bull with lunch and some burgers and fries is probably the most nutritious thing they'll ever eat or whatever. These people aren't bright. They may be able to do nuclear physics, which I can't, but at least I know what foods are bad for me and they don't. Okay, so at the very least, I'll probably live longer. No, I'm just joking. Because I'm tall, like 6'4" or something. Apparently, and you'll notice this. Have you noticed how a lot of the old people that are still around are pretty short? It's because the tall ones die off a lot earlier, I'm afraid. So enjoy me while you can. My very special caller, not the one before, but another one anyway, has arrived. Leah Benton? I think.
Well, hello, Vinny.
Hello.
Hello, Vinny. I'm calling you from beautiful Benton Harbor, Michigan, yes?
Oh, yeah. I have no idea where that is, but I'm sure it's quite nice.
Well, we seem to be kind of like a test tube around here.
A what?
A test tube.
A test tube, yes.
A test tube. We are on Lake Michigan, where the fresh water is.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, it's not salty. That's all I can say. Salt is probably the only thing it doesn't have. Okay.
Yeah. But if you need your essential fuel oil and plastic pond scum derivative, it's got all the nutritious goodness you need.
Well, you know, I seriously, Vinny, I've never looked at Lake Michigan that way myself. But here's the thing, you know, they're trying to turn it all into, you know, all of Michigan into a big tourist attraction.
Well, it would probably take away from all the people who can't go to the Gulf now anymore because they get sick from Corexit poisoning.
Well, yeah, and speaking of golf, we are the city that's got the PGA coming this year.
Excellent. I'm sure a lot of children will go missing a few nights before.
Well, that's not my bag either. So I'm not into all of this economic, you know, and come in and destroy the city and rebuild it to a Disney World. That's not my thing.
So what is it you'd like to talk about?
Well, you know, it kind of is that, and it's about the fact that they're taking away so many of our freedoms, and, you know, not only in this city did they destroy our diamonds and turn it into a golf course, they've also shut down our radio station. We have
really?
A radio station that reaches like 3 miles. It's a 3-mile radius. So only the people in the city are the people who can really hear it. But, you know, as soon as the people of the city start to listen and people start hearing us say things they're not used to hearing, we get shut down. And which is what they have done. It's a big controversy. It's been on the news, and they're selling our radio station, the whole radio station, for $5,000 or the highest bidder. And that's how they
$5,000 seems incredibly low for a radio station.
Yeah, and this one particularly. But, you know, I mean, the point is, you know, they're just, it's just a way of telling the people, you have nothing. We have an EM in our city who is, you know, closing down and shutting down anything that is of value to the people and putting up fake things that, you know, they just as soon have in Disney World or Alice in Wonderland.
So, sorry, what's an EM?
Say that again?
You said there's an EM in the city telling everybody to do all this stuff?
Oh, yeah, it's an EM. It's an emergency manager.
Oh, yeah, no.
And I'm wondering, did these emergency managers stem from FEMA?
Oh, mate, well, they put the EM in FEMA, assuredly. Have they set up a camp around your city by chance and ask everybody to come join the volleyball team?
Well, no, not the volleyball team, but the golf course and the PGA and all that kind of stuff.
Close enough. Do they by chance have double fences around the entire golf course with barbed wire on the top and security cameras and automatic machine gun turrets? Oh, no, 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 wait, wait, wait. That'll be for later planning stages, I'm probably sure. I'm sorry, I digress. Your radio station's being sold by force by a guy who's part of the federal government, not the state government, not the local government, but the federal government. And not even an elected member of the federal government, an employee of an agency of the federal government can shut down your town's radio station. Am I reading that right? I mean, come on. Come on, people. There's something really, really messed up with that. Am I wrong? You know, I'm not even in America. And even I could recognize that there's something very, very wrong with that. And unfortunately, we seem to have a bit of problem with the phones. Leah, are you still there? Apparently not. Well, see, this is Agenda 21. Again! I was talking to a guy earlier today. What was his name? Troy McLaughlin from the Santon Death Cult. .com, and this is precisely the point we made, is that Agenda 21 is behind everything, pretty much. If you have any form of freedom that remains, any form of private property, any form of resistance to the New World Order in a nutshell, which is any form of individuality, they want to institute and force laws upon you that will stop that thing from becoming a reality. Now, I'm not sure exactly what's wrong with the phones, so I'm going to have to drop Leah there. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can call in 218-339-8525. Is this happening to you? Is your town under the auspices of recognizable Agenda 21 authoritative, unelected council scumbaggery? Is this happening to you? I have absolute massive doubts that there's only one person in the entirety of the United States actually experiencing this. And in fact, there's probably somebody outside of the US, whether they be in New Zealand or the UK or anything like that. This is happening all over the place. You know, this is why there aren't any borders anymore. Like it or not, these globalists don't believe in people being able to protect their borders or keep their homeland safe at all. They don't care. And thus, even though we don't like that idea, we're still forced at some level to play their game, aren't we? Because that's what's happening here. They want everything. And so, as a direct result, the biological reaction to a virus being injected into it is for an immune system response, antibodies, etc. Rush to that particular area. Even if they're sitting down there in the feet, they'll start to come up and attack something that's a virus that's being injected into your arm, won't they? Okay, and this is an allegory for the entirety of the human race at this particular juncture, because, hey, we're all forming, as patriots, the immune system for the planet's freedom, not just our own nation's freedom. It's what some people in various activist movements around my country, and I'm sure around many, don't seem to get, is that they're not alone in this fight at all. Everybody had best recognize that not only is our enemy international very, very determined in their scope and demeanor, but thus so has the resistance become. And that's how we have to plan and execute our operations against the enemy's programs, okay? If your radio station is being sold because of some emergency manager, hey, take the initiative. Take the fight to them. Otherwise, they will finish the fight with you. It's just that simple. You don't have any choice in the matter, as far as I'm concerned. If you're under attack, you are forced by default, basically, to defend yourself, aren't you? I feel that our entire society has almost forgotten how to defend themselves. You know, completely forgotten. No clue whatsoever. It's just that simple. Nobody knows what the enemy's game plan is, or the, and even if they did, because it's such a complex issue, few people will actually know how to fight it, how to resist it, how to make it work any better. And so they often resign themselves to just telling other people about this problem and expecting somebody else to come up with some magical bullet or solution or something like that, you know. Essentially, they're calling out for help. But, interestingly, I find that help comes mostly to those who are already helping themselves. You know, like it's like I said to, I think there was a presidential candidate who wanted me to join his campaign team or something like that, had a look at his website, had a look at his followers, and he's got nothing, you know, absolutely nothing. Poorly, poorly done. And I said to him, if you can't keep your own boat afloat, don't ask other people to join your flotilla. Build it and they will come, not they will come and build it for you. That's basically what I said to the guy. And this is true for all of us. Whatever we're hoping to do, you know, do it. Just don't wait by any means. Start doing something now. The time is upon you. There is a vampire in your fracking doorway. Stake him before he stabs you in the neck with his very, very pointy teeth, or he will suck every last bit of lifeblood out of you, your family, and thus, later on, the entirety of the community who will feel the loss. That's assuming he doesn't feed on all of them too. Which in this case, using the vampiric example, oh, believe me, Agenda 21 is a global vampire that has its teeth ebbed into the sides of the fracking planet. No kidding. And it is currently attached and slurping your vital freedom juices out of the magma chambers of this fracking planet. All right. It's very serious. I may put it as a comedic context on this show, but that's the reason why we do it, is because it's a very scary thing to know that a vampire is attached to your neck without you freaking out, screaming, and batting at him with your thing. You know, even like my girlfriend, for example, she likes to attack me by kissing my neck and latching on kind of thing. It's like, it's very hard to get her off. I understand how this feels. It's quite nasty. And it makes you feel very vulnerable too. We'll talk about more of that after the break. Lisa from East Texas has just called in, so if you hold on over the break, Lisa, I will take your call when we come back. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen.
Emphysema sounding 2 hours in mafioso talk radio. And that cackle that you hear on the line is Lisa from East Texas. Welcome to the program.
You can hear me cackling. Oh, great. Hey, Vinny, I wish I could do that voice, but this is a great subject, Agenda 21 and so forth. I thought I would share my 2 cents on that. Been aware of it for a pretty long time now. And it's funny because my local little conservative East Texas city, when I started learning about Agenda 21, then I thought, well, I wonder if our town has anything like that. And lo and behold, I thought of something that I had read in the paper, and I came to discover that our local officials have no creativity, or I don't know, they should have been a little more sneaky, because they named our local plan Tyler 21. They're instructed by the powers that be that they should name it something much more creative and not include agenda in it, but they include the 21. So that was a big red marker for me.
Look at it this way. How do you think they got into the bureaucratic system and became a bureaucratic representative, if not for a complete lack of creativity?
Well, that's true. You're right. They're absolute mental midgets in some ways and very power hungry. But, you know, it's interesting. So I thought, well, I'm going to read this Tyler 21. And sure enough, it had all of the verbiage of Agenda 21. And it was hysterical. And we are not, what I think people need to realize, though, too, is that you don't have to be, your town does not have to be a formal member of ICLE in order to be promoting and implementing Agenda 21, because we are not a member of ICLE on their site. And so I started trying to figure out the people I know that run this town. They are not the progressive sort, at least up front. But I did learn how this gets to local towns. Agenda 21 does is they send their representatives from the UN to, and they have national mayor's council meetings every year. They have national city planning meetings every year. And Agenda 21 is rolled out as this really cool future planning tool for your town to say so you can have sustainable development, and, you know, nobody, of course, knows, or few know what that means. And so these dupes, these unwitting fools, say, hey, I could really use a planning tool. I'll just take this back, and they've already given us a blueprint or a template, and this is going to be great. I don't have to do any work.
I have a lack of creativity in my bureaucratic position, and somebody's just alleviated me of all the responsibility of having any creativity at any point. Awesome! Thank you!
That's right. It's like, you know, cliff notes for us city planners. So they literally, it is not really, not much has been, not many radical things have been proposed here, but I do hear the verbiage in the paper, you know, stakeholders and public-private partnerships and all those great things for global tyranny. And I, you know, there are a couple recent public-private partnership things, and it's just once you learn about Agenda 21, you can spot it in about 2 seconds when you start reading things in the news or listening to the news. And to the credit of the Tea Party here, which I'm no longer a member of because they turned into the neocon warmongering, you know, group, they did bring in somebody who explained Agenda 21, and I think it blew people away. So they're learning about it, but they don't seem to understand how the UN could possibly impact their little town and little conservative, potentially United States of America. And they're just not skilled enough to look for, you know, look for the signs that it's happening. So I'm trying to fight that as much as possible, but I also, there's so many other things to fight, you know? You got to pick your battles. It's hard. There's so many. I want to do them all.
It's a symptomology thing, right? You know, once you recognize the symptoms, and I liken Agenda 21 to somebody who's a crack fiend, and for the exact same reason, they make stuff up all the time. They're completely erratic. They go crazy. They start stealing things all the time in order to keep their habit going. You know, this is what sustainable developers are essentially. They're a bureaucratic mimicry of a crack addict. You know, and what's happening to all of our countries right now is we're just being run by these fracking crack fiends. I call it the crack attack.
The crack attack. I like that. Well, you know, I did read on this. Have you ever seen the anti-communitarian network.com website. These two gals have been talking about Agenda 21 for a long time. It was really my first introduction to it. It's a really interesting site. But they talked about the principle of these, you know, unelected bodies and boards and so forth being really the small s Soviet model. And that's a Soviet with a small s is an unelected group of people who are making bureaucratic decisions, basically ruling people's lives without having been elected. So that's really what we are having is a lot of little Soviets, and isn't that interesting? You know, globalization.
Yeah, and you'll see these kind of things happening all over the place. Just in Auckland, for example, now we've got a mayor who was elected on the platform of the eco-city model, which is actually just Agenda 21. And in fact, even a left-leaning website praised our new Freemasonic mayor, Len Brown, for copying the eco-city model, which is literally based on Agenda 21, you know, right there on their website. And now what are they doing? They're talking about taxing and tolling existing roads. They're talking about increasing taxation on the entire population, including outside of the normal rate of inflation. Why? Because despite the mayor promised that he would keep taxation and rate rises in pace and in line with inflation, he neglected to mention that under the Local Government Act, which is also modelled on Agenda 21, the government of the locality can set their own rate of inflation. So they're just playing mind games with everybody. That's why it works so well, because you do actually have to have a decent amount of research on your side to fight and know what these people's game plan is.
It's true. And it's so outrageously wacko that people, it's like the normalcy bias. They think, oh, that could never happen here. Wait, that's crazy. What are you talking about? You're just, you know, a kook conspiracy theorist. But, you know, Vinny, the last thing I'll say is the most obvious and blatant manifestation lately of Agenda 21 is, and I know other people are fighting this all over the world, really, is the smart meters. You know, we are held captive by a monopoly utility company, and Texas has its own little special subsection of the energy sector. It is this one guy bragged, well, you know, Texas is isolated. It's not connected to any global. I said, oh, okay. But I had one on my house. I know. He's just, you know, I had an hour-long discussion with this man trying to tell him what Agenda 21 was. And, you know, it really, it's literally Agenda 21, and they hold you hostage because, you know, we could try to change electric companies, but that wouldn't solve the problem that the company implementing the mandatory smart meters is the company that owns the grid, you know, owns the line. Well, the only way you could avoid that is to get off the grid. And the guy recommended, he said, well, have you ever thought of going off the grid? And I said, you know what? I would love to do that. Unfortunately, I have a house that I have to sell, and I don't think it's going to sell right now. So I'm going. I told him. I said I'm going to be fighting this, and you will hear about this. And so I've got to get my little ducks in a row and get organized. There are many groups out there doing great work, like Smart Ban Smart Meters .org, and yeah, you know, there's several groups, and I know they're really addressing it in California. What about over there in New Zealand? Is anybody concerned about it?
There's no groups that I know of as yet, and if I don't know of them, that means we're in real trouble, that are actually actively coming out against either Agenda 21 or smart meters or any of that kind of stuff. As far as I know, I'm the only one on talk radio actually even commenting on it in this country. So, you know, we're far behind. And my former producer, Mr. Mitch Santel, if you want to listen to an interview with him that's pretty cool. You can search him on Google or what have you, plus Vinnie Eastwood. He, as soon as his smart meter got installed, and he doesn't live more than a couple of clicks from me, he started, and his whole family started having these mad-ass headaches, and they're trying to figure out how to get rid of them. There's no template. Nobody in this country has actually done the research or the work that was required in order to get these things nutted out. So I've asked my good friend Penny Bright to swing some into it, but she's in court because she's been arrested from Occupy. They're going to try and put her in prison, and all these other things. Resisting the private water company takeover. There is so much going on all over the place, and as Penny says, I'm not Superwoman. I can't do it all, and I can't do it all. I'm not Superman, but we can still be super, nonetheless, in our own little corner of the earth, in our own little way. And I want to thank you, Lisa, for playing your part in that little nasty global scheme that we've got against these sustainable developers and assorted scumbaggery.
Yeah. Thank you for inspiring.
You're welcome. And coming up after the break, ladies and gentlemen, we actually have a scheduled guest night by the name of Carrie Lee. Should be very interesting. Check us out on YouTube, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, and come and join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Sense of the word to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about Agenda 21 and vaccinating children who don't deserve it and giving them autism and then profiting off for the rest of their entire life by corporately mandating them with psychiatric drugs that make them have seizures for which we prescribe other psychiatric drugs. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question, allegedly. I have a very special guest for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Name is Carrie Lee. Carrie Lee, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Could you introduce yourself to the audience? Oh, and you've also got to put your speakers right down, because this is mad feedback.
Oh, I'm sorry. There we go. Is that a little bit better?
Let's see. No, it's not good enough. Still needs to be down a little bit further. Headphones would be preferable.
Oh, they would, but if I could find them, I think my dog ate them.
Yep. I've heard that excuse before. So just turn them down, basically, until you can just barely hear me, and then it won't come through the speakers and go back into the microphone.
How's that working now?
That seems to be working just fine.
Beautiful.
Fantastic. Okay, well, introduce yourself away.
I'm Carrie Lee, and I run a show, or host a show called Lifting the Veil, and I talk about all sorts of things, not just one topic. It's just about lifting the veil on just about everything for the listeners, and I kind of am just led by whatever grabs me.
So what grabbed you and made you do this in the first place?
Well, to be honest, I've always been into speaking and being loud and opinionated. It's kind of just a second nature thing with me. And
I can understand that.
Yeah, I did a lot of things in high school that got me many detentions. Like I went to a Catholic high school, unfortunately, or fortunately, it taught me a hell of a lot. And what ended up happening was my very first independent research project I did on euthanasia, because I knew that that was going to go against the grain. And, of course, I was suspended. Like, it's just little things like that. I took journalism, found out that I was 10 years behind the grade, and I was paying $20,000 to $30,000 to be 10 years behind the grade. And I got really upset about that. I went to work for a paper. I had all my bylines stolen from the editor. I got fed up and I kind of gave up for a while and went about life as usual. And then I clued in about 3-4 years ago. I had like a sickness where I spent the entire time on the internet for 5 days. And at the end of that 5 days, I was sick for about a month.
That's called an AGP, anti-government phobia. It's a new mental disorder that the psychiatric industry has come up with. It has an acute onset and is actually, for the first time ever, it's actually an infectious mental illness. Oh. So you can give other people anti-government phobia just by coming in close contact.
That's fantastic. We call it ODD here. It's opposition defiance disorder.
Well, hey, well, they'll probably vote one in that too, and they'll just swap a symptom around. Like the fifth symptom will be paranoia, and on the other one, the fifth symptom will be withdrawing from society, and then the 25th symptom on the other one will be withdrawing from society, and the 25th symptom on the other one will be paranoia. So basically, the exact same thing, but they're just classified in different levels or whatever. That's the beauty of making up mental illness, is because it doesn't matter what you make up.
No, definitely not. You just they just give you a drug for it and turn you into a zombie and get their money and off they go.
Yep. Zombie, come over here. Take this.
Well, and I went down that road.
Mm-hmm.
I went down that road. There was a period in my life where there was a bunch of stuff going on that was really harsh, and I'd lost a child, and they put me on a whole bunch of drugs, and all I asked for was a counselor. And instead of giving me a counselor, they decided to give me oxapam, lorazepam, and Demerol. And then they decided to put me on Effexor, and I was drooling at a wall. And my husband grabbed the bottle of pills and flushed them down the toilet and said, "That'll be enough of that. Here's a joint."
Good on him.
Yeah.
See, now this is the thing. How many people die from pharmaceutical drugs every year versus how many people have died from smoking marijuana ever? You know, it does not compute.
No, nobody's ever died from marijuana, ever.
Apart from, as Jack Harris said, the person running shot in the back running away from the cops.
Yes, exactly. And that doesn't really make much sense now, does it?
It makes a lot of dollars, though.
It doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Because this is where we come to in this crossroads when it comes to the drug war. And in fact, I heard this conspiracy theory. I'm calling it a conspiracy theory in the conventional sense, as in I'm not sure if there's any evidence to back it up yet because I haven't looked for it, is that Whitney Houston was going to come out against the drug war and come out for Ron Paul to be president of the United States. And so they bumped her off. Now, I'm not sure about that, but there was also another very insulting joke, speaking in the drug war, that was posted on Facebook in German, in the fascist sense of the word. And it says, "What's 6 inches long and won't be getting sucked this Valentine's Day? Whitney Houston's crack pipe."
Oh, too soon? I don't care.
Well, the thing is, this is the thing. We have an indulgently sick and almost disrespectful society. And I proudly call myself disrespectful. And these jokes always come out. Like the day after Steve Irwin died, for example, says, "Steve Irwin really, really loved all animals, but he had a special spot in his heart for stingrays." Because he was stabbed through the heart with a stingray spine. Is it too soon? I think it's never too soon, and it's never too late to make fun of death.
Well, no, I mean, too many people mourn over it. I don't know how many people I saw going on and on and on and on and on about Whitney. And personally, she was cool when I was 12, and I appreciate her music back then, I guess, for what it was. But at the same time, what effect did she have on my life? And I know that we're all one big whole, and I get that, but I'd rather sit there and try and make a difference for the children that are getting bombed than worry about somebody who had too much money, was a spoiled brat, incredibly violent, and had a crack addiction.
Now, this dovetails with another thing that I saw on Facebook. It was it's got like these two pictures side by side, okay? One of them of some black children in Africa that look like they're starving to death, and the other of Whitney Houston singing. And it says, 1 million black children die, one person mourns. One person dies, 1 million people mourn.
They just swapped her picture out for Michael's, though.
Yeah. And this is the thing. It's become almost like a... Have you noticed that there's a lot of celebrities dying, like high-profile people dying lately?
Amanda Winehouse, or Amy Winehouse, sorry.
Yeah.
I expected that a little bit sooner than it happened, though. I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but I mean, you're going to live a lifestyle like that. I mean, nobody else is Keith Richards. Only Keith Richards can be Keith Richards.
Yeah. You can't be somebody else. You can only be who you are. And isn't that our problem in society nowadays? Everybody's trying to emulate and be like other people when the reality is the best they can be is be themselves. And nobody else will ever be able to match up to that.
Well, no, but I mean, when you've got a society programming you and media programming you, that it doesn't matter what you are, you're never going to be good enough. You're never going to have the right color hair. You're never going to be the right size. You're never going to be the right height. There's nothing you're ever going to be able to do correctly unless you buy this for $9.99. I mean, that's the kind of society we live in, where we're told we're not good enough unless we buy ourselves into goodness.
It's the old Bernaysian cyclical consumption thing. I can't feel good unless I have that thing. And once I have that thing, I don't feel good. And so I have to buy another thing. It's essentially like we're trying to make a lie real. And we devote ourselves to that lie to such an extent that when somebody comes along and tells us the truth, it appears as though it's made up and fictional.
Of course. That's what this whole world is made up of, though, isn't it? One big lie that everybody thinks is the reality. And so good people like yourself and myself in a normal situation, if you want to call it normal, would be scoffed at.
Now, what have you found has changed in your life since becoming a host and since starting to interview people?
I'm happier and more fulfilled with what I've chosen to do. It was last April 18th was my very first show, so we're coming up on my anniversary, and I was called on to a call-in hour on freethinkradio.com, and they had asked me if I wanted to do a show, and I wanted to, but I was scared for whatever reason. You know, you sit in there and you doubt yourself, but after doing them, I mean, I like what I learn. What's changed about my life is that I'm constantly learning things. Every single person that I've interviewed kind of leads me to the next stage of my own personal advancement, and I get to be a conduit of energy. You know, I'm not stagnating it. I don't find information and then it just stops with me. I'm able to share it with other people, and that gives me a real sense of purpose. I have less fear of speaking my mind. Not that I ever had real fear, but there were always little things that were, you know, at the back of my head, well, maybe I shouldn't say this around this person. And now I'm to the point where I just don't care. I was in the mall because I like to do a certain style of guerrilla truthing where I go out and I speak loudly in public at the grocery store or whatever, just to get a rise out of people. And I was speaking to my cousin and his wife was there, and I said something about my disdain for Israel. And the first thing she did was, shh, you can't say that. And I said, I just did. Can I do it again? I don't care if I just made you uncomfortable. If I made you comfortable, then good. If I made you uncomfortable, then maybe you'll think. I'm sorry that it bothered you, but not so much.
Well, see, this is what off-ending is, because you're throwing somebody off the deep end for a concept that they're not prepared for. And I don't know, why are people afraid of taking that plunge?
Well, because... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I would say because then their entire reality shifts. Everything that they once knew. I mean, that was my thing, you know, and I was already into conspiracies and whatnot, but not as deeply as I am now. And I've learned quite a bit in the last 3-4 years. And it rocks you to your core, and you have to change everything. Or you don't. I guess that's a choice that you have. You don't really have to. You can ignore it. But I mean, once you know something's wrong or bad for you or for a population, and you continue to do it, then you're no better than anybody else that, you know, than the person that's doing it in the first place or created that issue. personally, I think that people are just too comfortable in their apathy. And to change, they'd have to give up all of these material things. And people don't want to give that up.
Now, have you noticed that when you're interviewing great guests, they bring out the best in you?
Yes, I actually I have had some absolutely fantastic interviews. Every single one that I do, I feel, oh my God, this is my favorite interview. Last night I did an interview with Kevin P. Miller, who is the creator of Generation RX. He was brilliant. And having that conversation afterwards, I was left high. I had this high vibration. I was just absolutely tickled pink. The day before, I was able to interview Amanda Stock, who is doing an ayahuasca retreat in Peru. I honestly believe that every single person that I connect with in my interviews, they're just absolute gifts to me.
Yeah. So, and me personally, I get really excited before one of those shows. And when I get really excited, big names that you'd expect on the massivest, biggest networks and alternative radio shows out there. And here I am getting to talk with them. And what I found interesting and something that I learned relatively early on in the piece is just like everybody, they're just like everybody else, except they have a speciality that people know for. But just because you know who they are and what their work is, doesn't mean you know them really at all. And it's usually through having a conversation, person to person, that you really feel like you can get to know somebody.
Oh, that's so true, though. That's so true. You don't really know a person when you're watching their documentaries or reading their books, or you get a piece and a glimpse of what they're willing to show you. When you sit down to an interview, you get a little more personal. When I do my shows, I like to think of it as tea at my table, something very relaxed, something very calm, like friends. You know, I'd rather consider you a friend than just an interviewer. You know, you're not just a guest. Well, yeah, you are a guest, but it's kind of like a family atmosphere that I want to create. I want to have that comfort level where you don't feel like you have to be on point.
Yeah, and I do the same thing. You know, it's like if you say something that I disagree with, I don't actually challenge people like that on my show. I don't turn my shows into an argument. This is just about you and me accepting and spurring it along kind of thing. You know, we want to take it to a good place, regardless of whether or not I agree with you or whatever. We're here just to have a good time.
Yeah, it's an energy exchange, right? You want to exchange energies and you want to have that nice flow, because nobody wants to be listening to screaming and yelling between two people on the radio.
Although sometimes those videos that do come out on YouTube of like crazed callers and stuff, or people having big stouches, frack, they're funny.
And some of them are. Some of them are very humorous. And actually, I've tuned into a few that can be very, very, very enlightening and jovial. But at the same time, if it's my show, I don't want to be fighting.
Yeah, that's right. This is a peaceful zone.
That's right. It's a happy hippie zone.
You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on American Radio. And we'll be right back after the break, after we give you some product advertisements for stuff that'll actually be good for you and won't sell you out to be a slave to the New World Order. We'll be right back at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
To fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you, give me a dessert. Bob, you're a dessert, you prick. Give me that dessert. Have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah. Give me whatever you got. Just more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. You want to know what it's like, you can experience going to New Zealand. It's very simple. Sit in a chair for 19 hours and take your hands and press your head as hard as you can. And don't stop. Don't stop. 19 hours, just like this. And then at the end of 19 hours, you pull your hands off and you feel like you're in New Zealand. You certainly won't feel like you're home. They say that New Zealand's beautiful, and I don't know because by the time I got over the jet lag, I had to go. And it seems to me if you're going to travel for 19 hours to another country, when you get there, they should have the common courtesy to speak another language. I did not fly all this way to hear English again.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The place that is so jet-lagged that we have to broadcast live from the future. It is already the day after today. Today here in New Zealand. I don't know how that works. But, you know, if you're stuck on the other side of the dateline, don't worry. I'm sure that you'll catch up eventually. My very special guest is Kerry Lee from Lifting the Veil. In fact, do you have a website there that you can quickly plug?
I'm still with www.freethinkradio.com and also newrevradio.com. And you can go to my channel on YouTube, which is Lifting Veils.
Mm-hmm. Now, something we discussed over the break that I thought the listeners should hear about is the relationship that you actually build with your listeners as a radio show host. Could you tell us a few stories about that?
I've been really, really blessed, honestly. I have one person in particular, and I'm going to name her. Her name's Jody. And she got in touch with me and wanted to introduce me to a few people, so she did. And now we are like family. Her family and my family are like family. We live a couple hours away from each other, and we share together. She homeschools, I homeschool. She's been doing it longer than I have, so I can go to her for just about anything if I need to. My listeners, my listeners are just really fantastic. They help me. They push me forward. If I get stumped in a call, they're right there to help me. And it happens. I can't even say that. I mean, I'm sure that I've pissed off somebody down the line, but I haven't really taken too much notice of it. I see more of a positive than anything else. And I see that it seems that, I don't know, people are attracted to the show that need to be attracted to the show, and those that aren't don't listen. I really don't know, but I don't have a lot of negative feedback, so I'm very pleased with my listeners. I'm very happy to have them.
Have you noticed that it's kind of like sometimes you don't always reply to every comment you get on Facebook or anything like that, because most of them are really positive, right? And it's usually the very odd one that offends you that you actually have the impetus to reply to. Do you have that sensation sometimes? I've been having it lately, you know? It's like, this person's insulting me. I want to get them back. I want to clarify the issue. But this person's being nice and happy to me, just like 50 other people. Yeah, I can't reply to them all.
Well, you know, I've had a 2-year stalker. And since I got my radio show, I had blocked her on Facebook, and then she had this change of heart somehow and decided that she wanted to be friends again. So I I'm very forgiving. I love second chances, maybe too much, so that they turn into third and fourths. But we were connecting, and she kept pushing this agenda. And I kind of, you're a bit different. You do just about all the shows that are suggested to you. And there's some shows that I don't do because I would rather listen to them. And I don't have an interest enough, maybe, to do that show. I'd rather listen to it. And if that makes me lazy, well then, you know, guilty as charged, whatever. But she didn't like the fact that I had turned around and was like, you know what? No, I'm sorry. I don't want to do any more shows or a show about the Queen and Prince Charles and blah, 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 blah. I just didn't want to do it. And she got really offended and she started a smear campaign on me, which didn't do much of a bad thing, only a good thing. But as far as the, I'm not blessed enough to get so many I like yous that I don't answer them.
Well, this is the thing. You do have to sort of prioritize, right? Who are the people that are more important to you? The people who are crazy, who only care about one thing and want you to care about their one thing? Or do you just kind of that's me, and I've got my one thing, and I'm trying to do it, kind of thing. Is that more important, other people's ideas of how you should live your life, or your idea of how you should live your life?
Oh,
that's how I see it.
Definitely, definitely. It all comes down to something from Ben Stewart and his Ben Harrisonic. In the end, it's only you. The end of it all, you have to answer to you and to the creator or whatever it is that you believe in. But when it comes right down to it, you're alone in the end. You're not, it's just you and your soul and your vessel, and that's it. So at the end of the day, I do want to please my listeners, yes, but I am not going to put myself into an uncomfortable position. Not that I don't like to test the barriers, but you know, that it's not going to go against my soul speech.
Yeah, yeah. And this is how you have a good show and an enjoyable show, because if you're enjoying it, the audience will enjoy it. Because if your audience didn't enjoy it, they wouldn't be listening to you in the first place, would they? They join it because it's your show and you run your show in a particular way, and they enjoy that. And this is I don't know, I see my show as kind of like it's therapy for me. So maybe it's therapy for the listeners too. You know, you live in a very, very terrible world just as much as I do, dear listener. So let's just say, frack all the fear, frack all the discomfort and the wanting to withdraw, frack all the paranoia. Let's just have a good time, okay?
That's exactly it.
This is how we get some kind of balance. The news, the reason why the news isn't that important to anybody anymore is because there's no real emotion in it anymore, is there? And if there is emotion, there's the Bill O'Reilly, the Sean Hannity, kind of mentality, the rah-rah mentality, and the people who are watching it are of the bar-bar mentality. So they exactly watch what they want anyway. You can't structure yourself around everybody else. People have to gravitate to you on their own terms. It's the choice of the listener who they listen to, not my responsibility to cater to other people so that I give them a bigger choice.
No, exactly. And if you're not giving somebody something that they want, they have that option of turning the channel. They don't have
to
listen.
And they do, don't they?
Yeah. Most definitely. And I have to say something to the fact that you said your show's therapeutic for you. That's exactly how it is for me. It seems to be that every show that I've ever done has led me to my next show, and that with a purpose. I had just at the beginning of the year done three shows in a row that centered around psychopathy. And on the third show, 10 minutes later, a psychopath from my past called me, and I was able to deal with that person better. You know what I mean? It was like a preparation universally. Whew, thank you so much, you know? But as far as that goes, it's very true. And I feel the same way. I mean, if I'm getting a therapeutic release from my show, and then you see it in from other people that will write into you and say things like, you know, thank you so much. It's so nice to know that I'm not the only one. And the listeners need to know that the hosts kind of sit back and go, phew, that's good, because I thought I was.
Yeah, and again, the hosts and the listeners and the guests, as I mentioned earlier, are still just people. And again, you get to know that we're all very human, aren't we? And we all have our differences. We all have our challenges, our fears, our desires, etc. And the thing is, nobody's perfect. And some people put others up on a pedestal, and whenever you criticize that particular person that they've put up on a pedestal up here, they stop listening to you. They don't want anything to do with you anymore because you criticize my hero. That sort of thing.
Well, the thing about pedestals is it's a really far drop down, and I'm going to end up falling off that perch that you've got me on. So please don't put me up there, because I'm not delicate, but I don't like to bruise.
Yeah, exactly. I'm an avocado, and okay. I have a stone in the middle, but everything on the outside of my nice leathery skin is actually quite mushy and bruises easily. Don't put me up on that pedestal, you know, for goodness sake. don't put yourself up on one. If, you know, I mean, maybe we should have a pedestal suppression act or something like that. The government seems adept at coming up with acts that don't make any sense, don't they?
I like that. I think we should start a new trend.
Yeah, yeah.
Pedestal removal day.
Yeah. Or the no police state day or fascism free day, perhaps.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, can we just call 2012 fascism free year?
Do you think we'd be able to even keep them at bay for a whole year?
Oh, I don't think we'd be able to keep ourselves at bay for that whole year. I think that there's too many people that are completely strapped to the teat, so to speak, that it would be next to impossible for them to separate. It would take something like catastrophic to happen to that system for them to, you know, and even then, I don't know. I think a day we could work out a day. But I'd really like to shoot for that year.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, just because something appears as impossible doesn't mean that it actually is. Because there's often, you know, you're thinking about going from point A to point Z, and you can't think how far away is that, you know, can I even make it there, until you start looking at B. And once you get to B, you think, hey, there's another letter, C. And then you go all the way through that alphabet until you make your chance and your point and you get to that end of the alphabet, right? This is what people don't realize. Things don't happen by magic. There is a link in the chain, and you actually have to be that link in the chain. If you want a host to interview somebody, email that host, ask them to interview them. If they don't, hey, let it go. See if another host will. You know, that's what I learned in sales. If somebody ain't buying what you're selling them, when you call them up on the phone, you don't know them or anything like that. You can't put any judgments on their life or say that they're a slave or anything over the phone. So you just hang up on them because they're not worth your time and just go on to the next person, okay? You don't have to put so much emphasis on getting exactly what you want, exactly the way you want it right here, right now, because the world is, on occasion, very chaotic and not what you expect.
No, I couldn't agree with you anymore. And the other thing, too, that's an option is that if you really desperately want a show done so horribly bad, I really do suggest that you start your own podcast and believe in yourself that you can do it. Because if that message is burning inside you so badly that you're writing copious amounts of messages to other hosts and whatnot, take the plunge. I mean, really, I'm a stay-at-home mom, you know, and a wife. And yeah, okay, so I have a little bit of background in written journalism, but really, this is just something that happened. I'm glad.
And if you're passionate about it, you will do a very good show with that guest. All you need is Skype, okay? And I've had like people who are like virtually 90 odd years old install Skype on their very ancient computers. If they can do it, certainly can you. It's not that difficult to find software to record it, to do your own podcast. Take responsibility. Take ownership. Stop putting it on other people, because that doesn't enrich the global blogosphere any by asking people who you think are better than you to do things that you can't do for yourself. If you improve yourself enough and you have the confidence in yourself just enough just to do that thing that you could ask somebody else to do, the world is that much a better place, because it means you have gotten somewhere and not somebody else.
That was beautiful. Very true.
People have to have some more faith in themselves.
No, that's true, though. You know what? People have been, I think, conditioned to the point where they think that everybody's going to do things for them. And I've said quite a bit this year that we all traded in the plow to have somebody else farm for us, but then we slave away to get what they're giving us off the farm. And it's time to be independent again. It's time to take that back. It's time to realize that you are more than you were ever told you were, and take that personal onus of, yeah, you can do just about anything you set your mind to. It's when you sit there and you tell yourself that, no, you can't, that no, you can't. And you're your own worst enemy, You're the only one that's holding you back when it comes right down to it. All my fears that I had when I began radio are silly little fleeting things that I think are just ridiculous now, because I can't imagine not doing what I'm doing now. And I've said to a bunch of people that, you know what, this is my calling. This is what I've always wanted to do. When I was a child, I would stand in the mirror and do toothpaste commercials. I just loved to speak. I did speeches. I loved the spelling bee. I loved things like this. I loved being the narrator of the school play, whatever it was. And I get to
And we'll be right back, folks, after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com with Kerry Lee. Suicidal 2 hours in talk radio. The Berserker Crusader charging into a force of 100 pedophile scumbags with nothing more than his teeth to defend him. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on American Freedom. That was really weird and creepy analogy. Right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We also have another guest joining us now. You're supposed to be on in the first hour, but I chose to donate that to the listeners because he had some other issues and couldn't turn up. But he's here now. And some of you may have heard him on the United We Strike radio broadcast. If you'd like to hear his appearance there, you can search for Malignant Humor. Not Malignant Tumor, Malignant Humor. That's the kind of brand of comedy that I put out, because it does mean that you may have to have your legs cut off. His name's Ralph Engel from This Flight Tonight, I think, and he's right here. Ralph, welcome to the program.
Hello, Vinny. I hope you can hear me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank goodness. Just in the nick of time, eh?
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, give us a quick intro about yourself, and you're going to have to play a song right after you do that, because we're running short on time.
Excellent. I've actually just been listening to the show, and I find it very interesting you guys are talking about sort of basically choosing your own path, and I can really relate to that right now, and, you know, it's a really good topic that you guys have been discussing, so... If you don't mind, I'd like to play you a song sort of relevant to that.
Go for your life.
The song is called Make Me Proud.
Staring down empty spaces, make a sound, make a sound. Fight the voices, can't be useless. Hear the crowd, hear the crowd. There's a weird sort of calm and just believing that fear will dissipate eventually. When you're staring down, you're just human. Flight tonight is where you need to be. Go, 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 go. Make me proud. Go, 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 go. This old town don't get you. Hit the ground, you hit the ground. Past and future just don't matter. All that counts is now. Don't think about the past, now you're leaving. Fear casts a spell and paralyze. When you're staring down, you're just human. looking back, you don't recognize. Go, 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 make me frown. Go, 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 make me proud. For the future, make me proud, make me proud.
That's it.
That's great, lovely. Man. Yeah. Well, Kerry Lee, meet Ralph Engel. Ralph Engel, meet Kerry Lee. Kerry Lee's a radio talk show host. And in fact, we were discussing over the break, Ralph, earlier, that she's basically like a female me. She conducts herself in a very, very similar manner. I'm not sure if she's quite as raucous with the cackling and what have you, but in terms of just accepting people as they are and just enjoying the moment, right up there.
Yeah, I was really enjoying your conversation before, and I can see that you guys are two like-minded people. It's really good to hear that.
Mm-hmm. And so, Kerry, do you have any questions for Ralph? You know, being a musician in the anti-New World Order slash pro-truth movement.
You know, it must be just amazing for you to be able to sing your truth, and it must feel absolutely fantastic getting that out there. I know that I just enjoyed your song very much. Do you find that you're getting a really good response from people that are listening to your music and saying, you know, words like thank you?
Yes. I guess the best sort of songs that you can really sing is something that comes from something real. So absolutely. I mean, all the songs that I sing do come from something very personal. And at first it's very scary to sort of share it with people. But then you realize that we're all sort of, we've all got similar stories, and so when you're speaking from the heart, then definitely, you know, they can sort of relate to your message.
For sure.
Yeah, and I find it's just a pleasure to listen to somebody who's not singing about having a nice car and a nice wench and some nice McDonald's.
Well, that's the thing is, with music like that, I find it's convenient for corporations because there's lots of product placement. There's lots of, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's just something synthesized about that sort of music that I personally can't relate to.
You know what we should do?
At one stage, you know, when you're a lot younger, when your mind is a lot easier to mold as such, you know, you do kind of like that sort of music. But then after a while, you kind of see through the curtains a little bit. I don't know if you're the same there, Vinny. Do you reckon that...
It's like watching children's shows, and then when you watch them as an adult, you're like, I cannot believe this was actually interesting me.
Exactly. I mean, not to say that, you know, not all of it is bad, but I don't know. If you have too much of one thing, I think there's no diversity in it, and your interests do kind of steer a little bit, but... I mean, I don't know. It's just not for me, I think, anymore anyways.
I just don't think when it comes to music, personal choice or freedom or facts or anything like that, people should ever deal in absolutes. Like, this is the absolute truth, absolute fact, absolute only way to fracking do music. You know, it doesn't make any sense because what you're doing is you're essentially leaving out the wild card, which is humans. Man, we're the least predictable species around the thing, because we can think, we can create.
Yeah, and I think I was listening to a show of yours previously, Vinny, as well, and I totally relate to your statement before about how it's just all basically so synthesized and it's not organic anymore. And so, I mean, a heart is an organic thing, right? So it's just what they're saying just doesn't beat with mine, you know? Yeah, I hope you can understand that.
Well, it comes down to the very, very base principles. When you're speaking about music, entertainment, or brainwashing, which is basically a lot for to a larger or lesser or greater extent, that's exactly what entertainment really is. It's just brainwashing you. Now, you have the ability to brainwash people into knowing the truth rather than believing in something that's a lie. And I think that artists who recognize that fact become very, very powerful, very influential, provided that they work hard enough to actually get themselves out there. You know, it's like you can't name me a single incredibly famous person that has long staying power or plenty of good material that hasn't busted their hump to do it. They just don't exist.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So now, last words here. Do you have any advice for any budding musicians?
There's the advice card again. what do I say?
Or something that you normally wouldn't ever think that you'd be able to get to say, except it has to be an FCC regulation, so there's certain words you can't use to describe it.
I'll have to get back to you on that one, Vinny.
Right. Kerry, what about you?
whatever you're fearing, it's your fearing that's manifesting from yourself. Get over your fear and you can do anything.
Yeah. Fear manifests in yourself, so just get over yourself, in other words.
Well, to be honest, guys, you've caught me in a bit of subtext because I've just had basically a bit of drama happening. I won't share what it is, so I'm just not in that kind of mind frame at the moment, which is a pretty scary thing to share on international radio. But but all I can say, guys, is whatever you were saying before about leading your own path, I just totally relate to that at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Don't allow somebody else to lead you along by a dog leash, ladies and gentlemen. Get that collar off of your neck and go for a run. Run free! Naked if you want. Preferably not, but but run free nonetheless. And by golly, will you go far if you realize that your restraint doesn't provide you protection. It only provides you enslavement. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show and my very special guests, Kerry Lee and Ralph Engel. This flighttonight.com. And Kerry, what's your truthnewsradio.com as well as newrevradio.com. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Love you. You know I do. And I'll see you again some other time.